Play Costing, Performance Car of the Week.
The Austin Allegro, designed by Harris Mann in 1973, was probably known as the worst performing car in the Austin range. Its marquee square steering wheel and unique design never really lived up to the hype. In the late 70s, the gear changes were once described by a lady like stowing a bag of marbles with a knitting needle. So with little legroom, poor gear changes and everything falling apart, this week's Austin Performance Car of the Week is the Austin Allegro.
Steady on, Austin. I think one of the wheels has fallen off.
Coming up on today's podcast, Wire again lose a match in the last 10 minutes as Price looks for the answers. Daniel questions fans' etiquette on their social media appetite. The hunger continues with a 19th century themed restaurant at the Halliwell Jones. We predict how horny the Rhinos will be with Wembley only days away. And yes, by popular demand, Rimmer's Lottie's back as it takes to the air on a hospital wing. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Hello, I'm Rob London, and what an hour this is going to turn out to be. But with Wire set to play the Rhinos on Tuesday, where are my two podcasting raging horn-ons? Firstly, a man that could easily be poached for his statistical aphrodisiacs. Yes, with facts that guarantee to stand to attention for the entire podcast, it's Sam Aphrodite Sankey.
Hello, good morning. Aphrodite, yes, yeah, she was gorgeous, wasn't she?
Are you quite perky today, Sam? Are you sort of quite perky after the weekend's game?
I'm more perky today than I was yesterday. Oh. God, I was, there was a black mood over House Sankey yesterday.
Oh. I'm quite upbeat, actually, because you remember a few weeks ago I sent you a picture of my banana plant I've planted around the pool. So it's coming on absolutely beautiful. But no bananas yet, but I'm sure we'll peel back the layers on the game in the next half an hour. And also, did you know that rhino horn is used by the Chinese to treat arthritis and gout? So ironically, from a man that never foots a barbill and stiffens up everywhere, bar his cock, it's Dennis Inflammatory Red Hot and Swollen Jointed Waywell.
All right.
How are you, Dennis?
Well, I'm a bit down, but that's not to do with the game. That's just to do with that I had a bit of a rough night last night, so I'm in recovery mode. My brain's not functioning, so I do apologise that I'll be as normal as I usually am.
Very good. And you had a Croatian evening, I hear.
I did, yes. We had the delights of Croatia last night, although we weren't Croatian in Croatia, as we have done before.
Yeah, you can split the difference there, can't you? Yeah. Get it? No, don't worry about it. Okay, on to the Warrington and Wigan game. The Wire team was Ratchford, Charnley, Gelling, King, Mamo, Flaky Blake, Widdop, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry Hughes, and apparently Jason Clark at 13. Interchange bench was Philbin, Davis, Ashton, and Ellis Robson, who wasn't used. I mean, why would you use him when you've only got 15 men for 70 minutes? Oh. Attendance was zero, and an interview where Steve Price was left looking for answers and a grasp of the English language. So before we take this game apart, here's the highlights as we find out what type of prodigy Wire would turn out to be.
Jake Mamo is underneath it, looks to be moving. Well, says that, not convinced.
No, he's still struggling, isn't he? You can see. When he gets the ball, he is quite explosive, isn't he?
Well, we've got, I think, Matty Ashton, we can see on the far side, is actually out of the dugout now and on the touchline, ready to come on. gets the money. Here's Devon Rashford. Wigan chasing the Warrington number one. Lovely kick. Ashton is brought down by Manfredi. Now then, Matty Ashton was chasing that kick.
He's tackled four. I have a penalty try.
Penalty try. Yeah. Just about 5 metres away from the line. Chris Hill. Hill fancies it himself. Chris Hill! Just short of the try line. Is he? He's not! He's got that down! Ball quickly on to Tommy Luluai. Luluai gets the pass away. And Greenwood, the man who was cleaned out by one of his own teammates, by Tommy Luluai, in fact, takes Luluai's pass and gets a simple coasting try. Hastings. Hastings puts a little grubber kick. Oh, Hardacre onto the ball, under the post, and Wigan are in. First try of the second half. So Rashford to put Warrington back in front with the successful penalty attempt. Was that a sigh of relief? They get 2 points for it. It's Widdop. Widdop fires the pass out to Gelling. Gelling steps inside. Still going! Or did he? Chris Kendall blows his whistle. It looked as clear as day that Gelling had lost that ball on the way down. Hastings goes wide. Harry Smith, Farrell will make his name. Farrell dots the ball down. Adrian Lamb celebrates. And Wigan have got their noses in front in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Ah, right. Well, let's crack on then, lads. We should get right into this and see how we can put all this together. I should say at this point, we've had so many emails and letters this week. We've had over 200. So rather than sort of deciphering through the actual game itself, we're going to get onto your letters and emails straight away and sort of put all this to bed and work out where it's all going wrong. But on the 12th minute, Mamo leaves the field and is replaced by Ashton. Dennis, I'll start with you. Is that the end of Mamo?
You know, I think we've been campaigning for Mamo to get into the team for so long because he's such a nice man. He gets there and then unfortunately, what, 2 games after getting his place, he's now immobilised with his knee. I do feel that, yeah, that might be his ticket out again. And when's Lynham back? He'll be back soon, won't he?
Oh, a little way off yet. It was 26 games he was banned for or something, wasn't it?
Do you feel sorry for Mamo, Sam? Do you feel a bit sorry for him? He's been bashed about the last few weeks.
I don't feel sorry for him because I don't think he'd want you to feel sorry for him. But yeah, he was unlucky to have just got his run in the team and then have to leave the field just after 10 minutes.
The 13th minute, Stephen Ratchford breaks for the line. He puts a clever kick in for Ashton to chase. And with the line and the ball at Ashton's mercy, he's impeded by Manfredi. And Wyatt are awarded a penalty try. Ratchford kicks the extras and it's 6-0. No qualms with this at all, was there, Sam? It was a penalty try.
I think so, yes. I mean, he undoubtedly tackled him without the ball. Whether he bounces it, whether he actually puts it down is to debate, but there is absolutely no debate that he would have got to that ball first and had the opportunity to score.
21st minute, Chris Hill shows a combination of determination and running a great line to force the ball down. Ratchford again successful and Warrington a 12-0 up. Yet again, Chris Hill on fire, Dennis. Last week we all gave him the man of the match and he was pretty strong again this time.
It's almost as if he's listening to the podcast, isn't it? We've been really sort of critical of Chris Hill and, like, you know, saying, oh, he's over the hill. And then the last 2 games, he's been brilliant. So yeah, I think it's been great. And like to come up with a try as well. Well, that another good performance by Hill.
I do think listening to Bill Arthur when that try was scored, I mean, could he have got any less charismatic if he'd tried? I mean, it was like we were listening to some bloke in the library and then having watched Parramatta and Souths today and realised just the charisma that's in their commentary team of Andrew Voss and Greg Alexander. It's just unbelievable, the difference.
Surely the two Muppets, O'Connor and bloody McDermott, are going to get banged off. It's absolutely terrible listening to them. Don't get me going. I was enjoying my hangover up until that bit.
Dear, you're on edge, aren't you? I can tell. Yeah. 24th minute, Toby King jumps out of the defensive line and Joan Greenwood strolls over for Wigan. Hardacre converts and it's 12-6. What was King doing, Sam? Where was he off to? The shops?
We were a man down there, and for me, that showed the difference between how Wigan coped when they were a man down and made it very difficult for us to score. We were a man down because Austin is crumpled on halfway, receiving attention. And Toby King obviously decides he has to do something, rushes out to shut the play down, and he's not quick enough to do so.
At half-time, boys, did we all start to feel a little bit that bit of deja vu here, Dennis? It was all coming back again, same as last week?
Yeah. You know, I think a text at this point that this is almost reminiscent of 2019. And I was thinking, what is going to be the team talk at half time that is going to change things around and we don't slip into this? I don't know what it is. It's like almost shit. Like panic. Yeah. And, you know, what it's going to be to inspire them and not like sort of get all edgy and stuff like that. And we've discussed, like, you know, what the half time talks of coaches. I was looking for a change. This is the big opportunity for Price to turn it round. And what happened?
Well, on the 44th minute, following Hardacre scoring and converting his own try, the score's a level at 12-all. Sam, Gelling again, not bending his back.
Yes, but it came early in that. It was deja vu from last week. Second set, we've got them on their own line and we give a penalty away, piggybacking downfield, and for the first time in the second half, they're inside our 20, and on the second tackle, create an opportunity to score. It was deja vu. It was just like the Salford game, just like the previous week. We've dominated a game, and suddenly we're level.
Dennis, are you committed 100% to the podcast today? Because looking at you, you look like an absolute shower of shit.
Well, at least I found the right direction, unlike Blake Austin when it came to that try as well. He was like completely just looking over his shoulder. Oh, somebody else will sort it out. I have fell over and got crumpled.
50th minute, Ratchford slots over a penalty to give the Wolves a 14-12 lead. Seems that we wanted to run this ball. The message didn't go down correctly, but anyway, it's 14-12 to the wire. And then on the 61st minute, Gelling twisting the tackle on the Wigan try line, but endeavouring to ground the ball, he loses the ball. Typical Gelling again, isn't it, Sam? It's always there or it's not quite there.
That summed him up. I think it was interesting. That was the first time I noticed Widdop on our right-hand side. And Widdop gave a flat, it was a little bit low, but a flat pass for him to actually run onto, which got him towards the line. And he'd done all the hard work and then couldn't put it down. Didn't need to reach out to put it down. He just needed to fall over with the ball pressed against his chest.
I mean, Dennis, a lot of times you've seen things you've wanted to grasp and not wait for them to come to you, really, haven't you? Hence why the restraining order came along.
There's no need to mention that on the podcast.
He's got nothing today, Sam. Look at him. He's absolutely a shadow of the man he was.
You know what it is? I don't want this podcast to end up being totally negative. My mind's mulling over, probably not fast enough, to come up with some positives. So I'm working on it. Let's just get through this bit and let's get to the end.
All right. Well, here's a positive. It's not. 75th minute, Liam Farrell runs a simple line with Blake Austin making a half-hearted attempt to tackle him. And Wigan win the game 18-14. He's run that line so many times in the past, and yet he just breeze through. Who are we putting the blame on here?
I'm actually putting it on Austin, but again, not necessarily for the bit of a paper bag tackle he made. Again, just like last week, he had the chance to boot us right downfield and he puts in a little crappy, grubbery kick that they pick up on halfway and they're on the attack. And I hate to say it, but I did pick out Farrell last week, didn't I, as a danger man. Don't let him near your line. Yeah. And what did we do? We at 75 minutes, we let him near our line running onto a ball. I don't know.
Rob, you've been asking for Blake Austin to stand out in a big game. How did you think that went against Wigan?
Well, it didn't, did it? Didn't at all. And watching that Canberra game on the weekend, they clearly are not missing him at Canberra with that number six they've got running around at Canberra. My God, what's his name? Who's that lad who's running
Whiten.
Around? What a player he is. But as for, you know, Austin, as I said last week, the reason he sat warming his ass on the bench at Canberra a lot of the time was because, as just Sam said then, He does silly little things. He's not consistent. When he's on fire, he's wonderful to watch play Costin.
Yes.
But at the moment, he's all of a sudden that misery's crept into him where he looks like he's sort of having a bit of a tantrum again. And it's just not working for him.
Did you see Caesar playing for Huddersfield this week? And I know, I remember right at the beginning of the season, you'd say he'd probably be Man of Steel this year because he'll stand out in a you know, a half sort of decent side. I think he is actually leading the stats, isn't he? And it does make you wonder sometimes that, you know, without that sort of up and down performance that you got off Blake Austin, you get someone like Caesar who's just consistently delivering every week.
Have we got one too many players in this team at the moment, Sam, that can't tackle? I mean, we've got Gelling, who is a liability, and we've got Austin, who's a liability. Are we just...
I don't think it's that they can't tackle. I don't think it's can't, because you see Gelling put in occasional monster hits, and you see Austin do the same. It's not that they can't tackle. I think it's that they seem inconsistent. Almost like you said a minute or two ago, when they're good, they're very, very good. And when they're bad, they're way off. They doesn't seem, when they're not on top of the game, it doesn't seem like they're still at 7 out of 10. It seems they're either a 9 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10.
Like, if we were to pick any positives out of this, because we'll get into the readers' messages soon, what positives could you both draw out of this game? So, Rob, tell us what positives you saw.
Well, my positive is that a player that we thought was maybe getting a little bit long in the tooth is on form at the moment, and that is Chris Hill. Chris Hill is running terrifically well and making a lot of yards. So he'd be my positive. My other positive possibly is we still don't know what our best team is, which is a good dilemma to have.
Mm.
And that's about it at the moment. They're the two that I'd sort of point towards.
My positive is from 0 metres from our own try line all the way up to the opposition's 20, we look excellent. Mm. We look as good as I've seen us, making yards, moving the ball. It's just when we get into the opposition's, into the red zone, as the Americans call it, into that last 20 metres, we look bereft of ideas.
Well, that's positive.
That bit's a negative, but the other 80-20 rule for 80 metres, yes. We look great. For 80 metres, look great, but that final 20 metres... We're struggling. You've ended
the positive with a caveat of bloody negative. Stick to the positive.
For 80 metres, we're great.
Well, let's move on to what Price had to say. Now, I'm going to have to read this slowly because it doesn't make any sense. Okay, so I'm just going to go through this slowly. Price said, I just thought we didn't ask enough questions, especially in that later part of the second half. Now, wait for this bit. And we come up with the important miss. So what he's saying there is that he's happy that we've come up with the important miss, and he's not said, and we came up with an important miss. His grasp of the English language is not the best.
Isn't it? It's like a hypnotic statement. It's like, what did he just say? And then you miss the next 3 minutes of what he says. A bit like this podcast.
Now, he's also said, we're not even looking at the table at the moment.
When are we going to look at it?
He will be. He will be. He is undoubtedly looking at it, and they all will be. But
then why say it? Why say something as stupid as that?
Yeah, it's one of them that they all trip away, trip off the tongue. So that's why Mamo's interview was so refreshing, wasn't it? Because they all trip one game at a time. We're not looking at the table. We'll be where we'll be.
But Sam, game at a time would be fine. But Price wouldn't say that. He'd say game at one at a time, one at a time. Important to miss, and we came up miss.
Ooh, sounds like you're having a go at Price there.
I tell you what.
But I'm glad you are.
Now, the saying goes, age is a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Well, certainly someone who does mind about Warrington's performances is 91-year-old Alan London. Yes, my dad. Here's me, London Junior, making his daily call to my dad, London Senior, as the man that watched the great Brian Bevan play tells us how it is.
It's time for 91 years of age, Alan London. Oh, it's turned out nice again.
So what did you think of the match?
I don't know, Dad. What was your take on it?
My take was that they're hopeless when they get near the line. The only attacking move they've got is a long ball to the winger who then gets knocked into touch. The short kicking game was non-existent. It only did was kick it to a Wigan player. And they're actually, the front row was good. The back three didn't make any yardage at all. Curry, Hughes and Clark. At the end of the day, Price was very proud of his team. It had lost to a very poor Wigan team who got thrashed last week by Leeds. I'm not all that impressed.
Why don't you think they can score near the line?
Well, they don't. Wigan opened us up like a can of beans. We didn't open them up once. We got Rashford made a good kick through and we scored from it. I can't remember the other try. Who got the other try?
The other try went to Hill, didn't he? Ran a good line.
Went to who?
Hill.
Hill.
Oh, yeah.
The bloke who's nearly as old as you.
Yeah. Hill scored a good try, yeah, from that. But otherwise, I thought we were clueless near the line. Just move the ball around and they've got an overlap. Throw it out and someone gets hammered into touch.
Didn't use all his players.
Well, he had Robson on the bench, didn't he? And Davis, he's all right. He tries hard, but he never once passed the ball. As soon as he went to Davis, it died. Didn't pass the ball once.
What did you think of Gelling?
He gets out of position on defence. He's not a good reader of the turns. I've forgotten who it was. Was it Atkins that the Australian said was a good tackler, but he couldn't defend? Widdop was better. He backs up well. He makes a small break. Austin, they've spotted his dummy. Nobody takes his dummy any longer. His kicking game was good in the first half, behind the wind.
Apparently Price isn't looking at the table at the moment.
Is he not? Oh, that's a good idea. But as I say, he's proud of his team. We must be the only one. It was a good front row. I think our good front row was good. Hill had a good game. Cooper always has a good game, and so does Clark. But there's not much behind them.
Yeah, 11, 12, 13 a week.
Sorry?
11, 12. Have you got your hearing aid turned on?
Yeah. Right. Have you had your podcast yet?
No, I'm doing the podcast tomorrow, so you'll get to listen to that.
Right, well, you can put my comments on.
We've got this old bloke coming on, actually. He's 91, so we'll see what he has to say.
Oh, bloody hell, is it me?
He's recording you now.
Is that what he's doing?
Of course he is. He's been interviewing you, didn't
he? Right, okay, well, I shall appear on camera.
You won't be on camera.
When you're doing it, you can tell him that I saw Brian Bevan have his very first match for the A-team.
Yes, I know that.
There's nobody else can make that claim.
No, there probably isn't that. There probably isn't.
Well, that's what I have to put up with every week, lads, when I ring him. But to be fair to him, I thought he put it together better than the three of us could. I think he was pretty much spot on with what he had to say, Dennis.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that we have all got this emotion in it because, like, you know, we're doing the podcast and everything else. And yet you've got Mr. London Senior there who's had years and years of watching Warrington and everything and quite really just call it as it is. And you know what? All his points are pretty much bang on. So yeah, it puts them all across quite well. It's quite depressing really, isn't it?
Well, let's move on to all the letters and emails and tweets and everything else that we've had. We've had over 200, but we're going to sort of nail it down to around about 20 of them. So the first one's coming from Johnny Appleseed. He says, dozens of offloads to players stood still who then run back into heavy traffic. There's no game plan. Now, I think this goes back a little bit to what my dad just said, and that is that are we blaming the halfbacks or are we looking around people inside that last 10 that aren't just doing their job or are not being coached to do their job? For example, watching Parramatta and South this week, when they get in that final 10, there's 3, 4, 5 dummy runners setting up to get that advantage on the outside to score a try. At best, Sam, we've got one or two runners. And I'm saying they all look a bit bored.
We seem like we're just playing what's in front of us instead of having one or two set plays that we can run off and actually run with conviction. Instead, I'll have a go, and if I can't get there, if I can, I'll turn around and just drop the ball back to you, and then you have a go, and then if you can't get there, just turn around and throw it back. And it doesn't I don't remember us in the attacking 20 putting the ball through the hands, even when even when we had one man over in the early part of the game, we were throwing a big long cutout ball rather than run to the line, draw the man, give it to the next man, run to it, draw the man, give it to the next man, and creating an overlap. Can't remember us doing that for ages.
You look at Curry. Curry, 60 metres from the try line, is superb. He runs onto that ball and goes straight through that gap, as we saw in the game a few weeks ago, which Ashton scored from. But I don't see them, anyone trying to put him through a gap 5 metres from the line. And the same with Hughes, as you've just referred to. It's almost that second play. It's that breakdown of play when all of a sudden Hughes comes into the line and then he's throwing balls over the top and, you know, trying to get King in or whatever he's trying to do. But I don't think our 11, 12 and 13 are being used correctly in that last 10. I think we're not getting enough out of them. Now, is that down to the fact that those three aren't playing the game properly? Or is it down to the coaching? Are we doing the same routines at Padgate week in, week out? Because I think everyone looks a bit bored on those plays, and that's where I think things need to change.
Well, it sounds like you two are both calling for the five drives and a kick to Toby King. Bring it back, bring it back. Where's Patton? Bring Patton back. Let's have a little short pass at the line, you know, a little stutter pass putting us through. That's what we saw the other week. Yeah, I think there's a lot of positives that you could take out of what we've done before. But unfortunately, I'm seeing the signs of 2019 here. We're at the same point of the season. We were in the top, like, four or five. We've just dropped out. We've just gone out of the Challenge Cup. It's all going tits up.
Burke and Her writes, I have seen under 11 scrum halves control a game better than Austin tonight. P.S. Liam Farrell makes my balls swell.
Oh, nice.
I'll let you answer the ball swelling first, Sam, and then I'll come on to you about the halfbacks, Dennis. Over to you, Sam.
He doesn't mind.
Fair enough. Well, we've spoken about Austin already, haven't we? I think we've sort of cleared up on that one, is the fact that he's either a 9 out of 10 every week or he's a 5 out of 10, and there doesn't seem to be anything in between. Moving on to the next one. So what do we do now? This is from Worrell, 36628, Wazza. So what do we do now? We supposedly have the money. We supposedly have the resources, yet we continually come up short. So what next? 30-plus years of pain for me with no end in sight.
Well, we've got short-term memories, haven't we? You know, because if you remember, at the start of this season, there was a lot of chatter about, you know, whether Price goes out because he's only won the Challenge Cup and he didn't win the league and so on. We've all forgotten about that. And we've had a good run of games, much like 2019. I'm going to keep mentioning it. But, you know, I think, you know, we'll get onto the Twitter poll in a bit. But I think that, you know, he's had his time. And, you know, there isn't much change. And we go back to, we were talking last week about, you know, Ian Watson and so on. Fans would prefer maybe a change.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll come on to that vote in a little bit. We'll go on to the next one. Mike DeRuze, how can the majority think that that was woeful? It was epic. Both sides are top class. Just wasn't our night tonight. I mean, it was epic at a low level, wasn't it? But it's not epic at NRL playoff level.
Yeah. Did you hear the commentator trying to big it up?
No, because it's Bill Arthur. Sounds like he's getting a book out of the botanical section at the library or something, the way he goes.
I'll tell you what I did notice. I've got a little spider stuck in my TV screen. It's only about a year old.
Oh,
and it's crawled right between the LCD thing or whatever it is nowadays. And it's stuck there. And I only noticed that because the game was quite boring at times. And I could see it was on the 20-metre line. I did think that pattern had come back on, but it was just a little spider.
I thought it was a real enjoyable game. It would have been more enjoyable if
I don't know,
we weren't watching
Sam's dog
a loss.
When he talks bullshit, the dog always yelps. Have you noticed this? It's like a warning goes off.
It is.
Dog's like, what the fuck? I watched that. It was rubbish. I started licking my balls in the second half. It was that bad.
Oh, he does that every 5 minutes.
Oh,
but he was probably watching Liam Farrell. It's not even though that was a decent Super League game. As you say, Rob, it's nowhere near the standard of the matches we watch coming up from the NRL in intensity.
No. One from Drew. I don't know where this stat comes from, but he says Wigan had 6 minutes less time with ball in hand.
Well, over the entire course of the game, Warrington had 55% possession as opposed to Wigan's 45.
There you go. So, Drew's spot on. Oh, well done, Drew. Well done, Drew. Absolutely spot on. So why, when they've got 6 minutes less possession, are we still losing the game?
Because they're more incisive. I sat and watched that match again on fast forward because I couldn't bear to actually go through the full.
When you do that, Sam, you click it. Is it like an NRL setting? Is that what you do? You click it to the next setting.
Right.
It goes quicker.
Yeah. Next speed up. In the first half, we had 28 play the balls inside the attacking 20 metres. And in the second half, and we scored two tries. Mm. One of them tries we scored from a penalty try. We didn't even create it, actually scored it ourselves. Mm. And in the second half, we had 23 play the balls inside the attacking 20 metres, and we scored no tries. Meanwhile, Wigan first got into our 20 and scored on the second tackle. And as I said at the start of the second half, the first time they got into our 20, they scored on the second tackle again. Because they're more incisive. Mm. We're taking six or seven possessions inside the attacking zone to score one try.
Tim Galsworthy, I fear we are not clinical enough. That was the case against Salford last weekend too. I think you've just summed it up there, Sam. I think
he's quite right.
Graham Littler, he agrees. Great possession, plenty of good tackling, but we lack the killer instinct, which is... the way things are. Are we starting to look a little bit like the gay guy that's got lots of girlfriends but doesn't actually go out with them? You know, he gets on very well with them, but he never actually gets to the crunch.
Yeah, come on, Sam, answer this question.
You know.
I just feel that when sort of to summarise those couple of other comments, we're not putting the game to bed when we're on top.
Yeah, I think how you summarised the gay bit with, you know, he's got all these things, but he doesn't put them to bed. Yeah, exactly.
Spot on. Well done there, Sam. I think Dennis made a great point last week, and I've been thinking about this this week, and that's that I think he did make a big mistake playing all his youth team against Salford that first week. I mean, looking at the way the results have gone, you know, we've gone tits up over three results. He would have been far better putting at least a few of the big guns out against Salford in that first game, because those 2 points now, they don't half seem valuable. Graham Taylor, I don't think it's the Graham Taylor. I agree Price won't be able to take Wire to the level required to be the best team in Super League. Well, we'll come on to the Twitter vote in a little bit. Anton Johnson, same old story. Too many playmakers who don't playmake. There was a clip I sent to you, Sam, where Daryl Clark picks the ball up and throws it to his left and Widdop tries to barge over. And I thought that really summed it up. I thought, you know, that ball should be going to a second rower or a prop. And Widdop looks frustrated. He's like, well, if you're not going to do it, lads, I'll give it a go. That's what it's coming down to.
Yeah, completely. It shouldn't be. And he actually ran hard, didn't he? But that's what you would expect. That's what you'd expect a prop forward or a second rower, a loose forward to do. Or even a big centre.
We've identified that the forwards have been playing quite well this last couple of weeks, so they've created the space for the you know, the backs to do something. So
I'm in agreement with my dad. I think the two front. I thought Cooper didn't have his best game this week, but I don't think the problem is our props. And thinking more about this, I don't think Warrington's solution is buying another prop. I think we've got enough props at the club with who we've got. Even if one of them leaves, if Latu leaves or Akawala leaves, I think, having watched NRL this weekend, Warrington's big signing should be a second row forward. And I'm not saying he needs to replace Curry or Hughes or Jason Clark, but we need a fast, big, mobile second rower who can play big minutes.
A guy who'll break a line, don't you? That's what you want, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Paul Jones, hard to take as it was against the Pies, but Price is like our 6 and 7 combos. Simply not good enough. Yes, not good enough. Young Smith made Austin look stupid and the Pies win the game. Youth making experience mean nothing. Wigan again, happy to bleed youth into their side. We see it with St. Helens. We've got Ellis Robson sitting on the bench for the entire game. When basically we're playing with 15 players for 70 minutes, Sam.
Didn't understand that. Didn't understand that at all. And it was almost, I felt it was almost like we got to the last 10 minutes and because it was so close, he didn't want to throw the youngster on because he's inexperienced. Okay, fair enough, I can get that. Why not use him then on 55 minutes for just a 10-minute spell to let one of his experienced guys have a rest? Why save him all the way to the last few minutes and then think, he's a young lad, it's a close game, I'm not going to risk it?
It's a fair point. And you know what? This is just poor management, this, because if you've got a young player on the bench, you want to bring him on early in the game just so he can get a feel for it. But you imagine the pressure building up when you sat on the bench for all those minutes and you get into that last 10 minutes. It, as you say, it becomes a point there. It's like, oh, do we throw him on now and risk it? And then he bottles it, makes mistakes and stuff. You've got to bring him on early in the game. Give him 10 minutes, see how he goes. If it's too much for him, then yeah, all right, keep him on the bench for the rest of the game. But don't leave your option and then not have an option. It's ridiculous.
Fraser Yeamans, whatever the question is, Steve Price hasn't got the answer. Bit harsh, Fraser, but I'll put you in the price out camp. Ross, season slowly falling apart again, just like after the Challenge Cup last year.
Yes, there you
go.
Now,
this is a bit of a worry, isn't it? Because last year, I think Price was on his way, and what saved him was the Challenge Cup.
If you were to watch that match and we would have won, I still think that you would be sort of sat here now thinking, we've got a few issues here, because that didn't look good, did it? You know, that finishing, as you said, Sam, in the last 20, it's almost as though we stick into these structures and so on. It's like, you know, take the ball up, this, that and the other. But there's no runners running back and two here, there and everywhere. I think, Rob, you've alluded to that point. Yeah. It just seems very vanilla.
Well, this comes back to us having Carl Fitzpatrick on the podcast last year, didn't it? And we asked the question, was it acceptable where Warrington finished in the table? And he said no. So I tell you what, the pressure's mounting. We'll come on to the league table in a second, but we don't have the Challenge Cup to fall back on this year. Daniel Murphy, for me, we had enough ball tonight to win the game and didn't. And Wigan hung in there and snatched it. This is a carbon copy of both Salford defeats. A theme is beginning to emerge, and it isn't a good one. Seems like Widdop has lost his kicking ability too. Always Ratchford and Austin. Are we expecting Widdop to kick the ball downfield some a bit more? I don't think we are really, are we? He's more of a little kick towards the line.
No, but I think Daniel's probably referring to the bomb from 20 metres out. I did notice Ratchford took a lot of those yesterday, the longer the game went on, whereas Widdop was stood further out and was waiting for a pass, really.
Daniel's in procurement, so maybe we could get him on the a case of putting a list of second rowers together that we could maybe get to work. Alfie Garnett, Jesus, lads, the defeat hurt more to watch than Salford last week. Liam Fazer got lucky with man of the match. I thought Zach was the difference. Have Wire a soft underbelly when it comes to Warrington trying to close out a game. Cannot wait for the best podcast every Monday. I think the most disturbing thing about this is that there must be some really shit podcasts out there if
everyone is. Yes.
Josh, when your starting 13 is only making 49 metres, you know you're in trouble.
Listen, he's bringing Inglis next year. That is a proper caveat,
Dennis. Well said.
Big caveat.
Jason Caveat Clark. Jamie Bate, he's not gone for a coffee this week. Jake Mamo only had one less carry than Jason Clark. Incredible stuff. That is a bit of a worry.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Playing with basically 12 men until Greg Inglis gets here.
Adam John Berry, Austin has been terrible for weeks. Doesn't seem interested. He just wants to moan. He needs to seriously pull his finger out. Jesus. Just on and on, isn't it?
How would you make this podcast positive? This is just basically a list of fucking negative comments. Have we not got any positive ones?
Do you want me to just mention my banana plant again? I can go on about that.
Oh, fucking banana plants. Jesus.
Oh, dear. Curry of the week. Dennis, what are we giving him this week?
And today's curry dish is... Kumar.
It's a curry, mat maro.
Oh, it's not very spicy. It's very bland. Did you take Caveat Express by any chance?
This week's highlights tackled by The Prodigy and the song No Good. Dennis, with the podcast listener demographic leaning towards a certain age, what's no good for us?
Well, as you say, our demographic is basically men with of a middle age. There's a lot of advice. Yeah, there's a lot of advice for us at this age. Let's start with fashion, for instance. You know, there's a lot of advice for us. Combat trousers are an absolute no, especially with camo print. I don't know if you've got any of them. Converse trainers, no good for your feet anyway. Track suits, you know, see a lot of them. Sandals with socks, or what's it called? Thongs over there.
Thongs
and socks.
I miss that because over here, all I do is wear thongs. That's the only thing I wear. But of course, in England, it's flip flop, which is an onomatopoeia.
Yeah, but don't visualize any other thongs on him anyway. Too much aftershave, you know, we're advised. But in general, there's just an attitude of hanging on to things that may come back into fashion for us all. Now, there's plenty of other advice on men's health as well. And did you know, according to the Psychology Today, for a good proportion of life, men often have an irrationality and self-destruction of high desire for sex. Now, researchers found that 18 to 25-year-olds, 50% think about sex at least 5 minutes, every 5 minutes. As you get 26 to 55-year-olds, it's 25%. Now, New York...
you think about it... you don't think about it for 25 minutes?
No. Kinsey Research, he found that men masturbated more frequently. Only 5% of men said they didn't masturbate. And I don't know if they were telling the truth. Now, they suggested, he also found that this research, that 40 to 50% of people who grew up in farms had sex with non-human partner as well, which is just a side issue. But anyway, the research goes on to erectile dysfunction. And to avoid the fake news on the subject, I'll clarify some points on what happens to men over 50. Now, 50 to 64 age group, about a third of them suffer from erectile dysfunction, usually medical, and 65 to 85, it's 44%. So these are the things that
you know,
are not
I'm really
good
glad
for
we're discussing this. We're really open, aren't
it
we?
Is.
This is what, it's what men
this
need
is
to
what
discuss.
Exactly. Yes,
yes.
We don't
exactly.
talk about it.
No.
So these are the things that are not good for us, which could have an effect on that performance. Number one is exercise. We don't get enough exercise as we get older, and we should make sure that we do that. I can see Sam nodding his head there because I know he's a keen jogger. Keeping that circulatory movement going around that area is very good for you. However, Sam, that is offset by alcohol and the unhealthy...
Mr. Floppy. Yes.
So there you go. But the third one, and probably one of the most important ones, again, that we don't discuss as men, is whether we're under stress. You know, so that if you're in that particular position...
stop watching Warrington.
You've just stopped watching Warrington and, you know, you're there looking at your partner and things. And if the doorbell goes or an ambulance goes by, it sort of takes a moment away. So these are the major things. So what I'm suggesting there is that you need to do a bit of yoga in your life and introduce a bit of yoga. And so on and so forth.
Why is the ambulance just going past all the time? We're living next door to Warrington General or something.
It's always happening in Warrington. So my advice for men that's not good for you and you want to maintain a stiffy, and also Warrington Wolves this season, if you want to have a stiff defence and you want to improve your offence, you need to have a hot shower before you go onto the pitch. You need to have some deep breathing techniques and relax yourself and basically take a more erotic approach to your offence and take your time, let the guys come to you and then kick and put on an exceptional play. And that's my sort of little narrative on what things are not good for you, but what things are good for you for erectile dysfunction.
Thank you, Dennis. The saying goes, it is better to debate a question without settling it than to settle a question without debating it. So here's Daniel as he states his case for his own questions that he gladly opens up for debate.
They try to disrespect me when they're online especially, but everything cool when they check me because I'm so cool.
The modern world is very technical, and in the last few years, social media has risen and risen all across society. Thinking specifically about its impact on rugby league, there are lots of positives. Fans are able to stay up to date with the latest news around the club and discuss things with other supporters, as well as be reminded of classic moments or players of years gone by. Even just looking at Warrington, the club's promotion of matches last season using social media platforms was absolutely incredible. promo videos, the Bad Blood campaign for the games against Wigan, different clips involving Wolfie and darts player Michael Smith for the St Helens matches. It's no surprise that ticket sales were high for the games that Wyatt really promoted, although they do need to be doing the same kind of thing, promoting tickets for the Rugby League World Cup next year. There are some negatives though. Just last week, I was a subject of plenty of criticism after posting my player ratings from the Salford Warrington match on Twitter. After people took issue with one of my ratings in particular, I received no less than 58 public comments questioning my knowledge of the game, whether I had deliberately rated this player particularly lowly for interactions, a farcical suggestion when I do player ratings after every match, and many, many personal insults too. Rugby is a game of opinions, and I've not got a single problem with people disagreeing with me. I sat and replied to every single comment justifying my choice, yet more often than not was met with more abuse, including from members of the player's family. So many people were not willing to enter debate and just came to the conclusion that I knew nothing about rugby because of one opinion of mine that they happened to disagree with. I could have drawn my own conclusions about these people's intelligence based on their limited at best grasp of the English language, but I would always rather debate and interact with fellow fans. Abuse and criticism doesn't bother me at all. I find some of it quite amusing actually, but not everyone will feel that way. Players suffer the same fate too. Warrington's Stephen Ratchford was sent highly critical and abusive tweets in the wake of Wyatt's loss to St Helens last season, and the player made the mistake of responding to the comments of the troll. Referee Rob Hicks was a subject of something similar. On the flip side, Zach Hardacre of Wigan has got himself into a few scrapes on Twitter recently as well. As mentioned earlier, social media can be a fabulous tool for good, but it's a shame that so many of the rugby league fraternity choose not to use it that way. I am so not phony. They try to disrespect me when they're online especially, but everything cool when they check me because I'm so cool and deadly. See, I had to realize slowly.
Now, Sam, you're our IT guru when it comes to social media. I mean, you're pretty much behind every tweet that we put out there.
Jesus.
All the gifts. All the... You're right there, Dennis. Poor Daniel. The only thing I've got to say on this is that occasionally when we do put questions out there, rather than people answering the question, they just slate the question. That seems to be the one that we can't seem to get round.
Now, the thing is, he didn't actually put a statement out there. On this occasion, he's actually put some ratings out, which is nothing wrong with that. It's his opinion of what he's seen, and that's his interpretation of it. I think where people go wrong with social media is like, why don't you, if you're going to disagree with him, then disagree with an argument as to counter his sort of argument. And I know most of Daniel's arguments are fucking wank, shit, bollocks and all this lot, but that's just Daniel, you know, he likes to do that. So I would like to say, don't hate, debate. That's what we should be using Twitter for. Not for like having a go at people. Let's debate, not hate. Let's have a bit of love.
You're like the Claire Rayner of the podcast now, aren't you, Dan? Oh,
I feel a new section coming on.
He's woken up.
Yeah, I've got past the match, that's why.
Ah, dear. I mean, you can go as far as possibly liking Blake Austin's eyebrows on Instagram. But no one would be that stupid to go that far. No one would be that ridiculous to do that.
No, they wouldn't.
Okay, let's have a look at the Super League table then. So we've got Saints out on top on 76. I won't do the points at the end. We'll just say 76%. Wigan on 71%. Catalans 66%, along with Leeds at 66%. Wire on 64%. Huddersfield, let's not bother about the rest. Huddersfield, Hull, Salford, Castleford, Hull KR and Wakefield. Are we saying they're finished now, lads? It's five teams for the top four, yeah? Is that the way we're seeing it, Sam? I know mathematically, possibly, it's still possible, but it's down to five, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, I'm seeing it that way. And I'm seeing that although you're right, those 2 points or that percentage we lost against Salford has put us in a little bit of a precarious position. I'm seeing it that we're going to strike lucky by playing a weakened Leeds team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On Tuesday. So we have to win that. But then all those top five play each other over the coming weeks.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's the thing. We've got to play Catalan. And we've got to, assuming games don't get cancelled because of COVID, of course, we play Catalan after that on Monday the 26th. But Catalan themselves have a game on the previous Thursday. So they're going to be playing two games in 4 days as well.
of Salford declares Cup Final Monday a public holiday, with up to nearly a dozen residents of the city set to get a day off work. Adam Hills is to become an ambassador of the 2021 World Cup. As hope amongst fans grows, the tournament will be called off. And Warburton Bridge collapses following a car share with Ben Thaler and Professor Steve Broomhead.
Right, well, there were the headlines. Let's move on to the stories. The RFL has relaxed the size of fines being handed to players for celebrating tries. As a result, fines will still be imposed on players who don't comply with the rules, but they are now significantly lower than the initial £250 fine. Not really affecting us at the moment because we're not really scoring that many tries. Especially, I mean, a penalty try, we didn't sort of have to celebrate at all. Dennis, why are you scrunching your face up again?
That's nasty, isn't it? You know, I mean, all right, we might be getting into a period of the season where it's going to be a lot wetter and the tries are going to be few and far between because it's going to be quite a leveler for the game. So, you know, it doesn't really play into our advantage, does it? So, you know, and would there be a specialist sort of, you know, celebration for a penalty try? Maybe we should...
The RFL celebratory fine chart has been leaked to what would Brian Bevan say. I've got it here in front of me, lads, if you want to hear it. The new fine chart goes £50 pat on the back, £75 ruffle of the hair, £100 light hug, £150 hug, £200 strong hug, £250 kisses no tongues. I said no tongues. £325 kisses with tongues, £500 hand job, £600 blowjob with mouth guard in, £700 blowjob with no mouth guard, £800 rimming and wank combo, £900 threesome,
right,
and £1,000 Team Monks chain. Now, although it is a chain, we will go to Robert Hicks if the chain is broken.
So, ah, very good. Excellent
there. The Halliwell Jones is to open a new restaurant called 1876. Diners will enjoy their food with a backdrop of the pitch. The restaurant will be opened by former Wire star and now world-famous Michelin star chef, Benny Westwood. The menu includes the classic heart artery cloggers, beard battered haddock and chunky chips, and steak and sausage pie wrapped in a delicious cholesterol buttered puff pastry. There will also be international dishes for the Brexiteers and racists to enjoy, such as wasabi salmon sugar snap broth with ramen noodles and pui lentils. Are you a fan of a pui lentil, Sam?
I don't tend to have many lentil dishes, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, you bloody... What is that? What's the word for being sort of like against vegetarians? Sam's one of them.
I had a nice Malaysian chickpea curry a couple of weeks ago. That was very nice, but few and far between.
What worries me about this menu is that pui is actually spelt P-U-Y. How many times are the waiters and waitresses going to go, what's a poo lentil? I can just see that, I mean, all the time. To sort of clear this up, I've actually written to the restaurant this week. I sent them an email 2 days ago. I'll read the email to you. Dear 1876, I'm excited to read the restaurant will be opening soon. Congratulations on all your hard efforts. I note on your menu you'll be serving a delicious pui lentil. Can you please confirm whether this actually is a pui lentil, as to be given such the title of the lentil, it must be grown in Le Puy. Otherwise, it should be classed as a green lentil. The pui lentil is resilient and offers far more versatility in dishes due to its volcanic food provenance, whereas the green lentil is often let down in the last 10 minutes of cooking. Apologies for such a pedantic question, but my cousins live in Bergerac, France, and it would be disappointing for them when visiting Warrington after lockdown, only to discover that this lentil isn't the marquee lentil it's made out to be. Bon appetit, Brian B. So I sent that 2 days ago. This is on the Warrington Wolves website. It's all up there now. It's all lovely with the email address. I got an email back within minutes of actually sending it, to tell me that the email address is incorrect.
Oh, who's got it? Who's got the email then?
It goes to someone else. It's like it comes back and says, ring all these people and the restaurant is shut and this email doesn't work. Oh, I tell you what, couldn't believe it. Also, if the club are listening, they've done a bit of a Steve Price. They've pluralised the word courses. They've written two or three courses menus. Should be two or three courses. So you might want to do that. And also there's little needs a comma after. Anyway, forget about it. Okay, moving on. And finally, a huge congratulations to the wonderful Professor Steve Broomhead, Vice Chairman at the Warrington Wolves, following Steve being awarded the MBE, Member of the Order of the British Empire, in the Queen's Birthday Honours List. I mean, we've taken the piss out of Steve a lot, but what a wonderful chap he is, Sam. Absolutely brilliant for him to get the honour.
Yeah, it's great for anyone to receive recognition for the work they've been doing, hasn't it?
I'd just like to also put a caveat on that, is that Steve will be given the first in the queue at the restaurant, so good luck to you getting what you want. Hey,
Jesus, 2 kilos of pweez in his arse. Okay, it was left to Sam to take the podcast on a factual historical grand tour of Wigan's visit to the Vatican to discover whether it was Latin or Italian that Pope Pius XII told them all to fuck off. So with him clearly running out of statistics, let us all pray he's back on the path of the player's factual Catholic spiritual journey only, as it's over to...
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Yes, well, I seem to be on the same wavelength with you today, Rob, and some of the pure coincidence. But I'm going to look at two things today. But first, I'd like to give an update on the RFL.
This is exciting! Come on,
It's not that exciting. When we recorded last Sunday, we said that despite sending messages, I'd not heard back from the RFL. Sunday afternoon, email drops in from Andy Wilson, media at RFL, just apologising for not replying and saying there was some things going on with the referees at the minute. We'd understand when the news broke, and the news obviously broke that Steve Ganton is off poorly. So we just want to put that. I just want to put that right. That we were saying we'd not heard. We did hear eventually, and we wish Steve a speedy recovery from whatever it is he's got. Anyway, statistics.
You have to kill
the Warrington Wolves attacking right side. Last year, the right edge was Josh Charnley on the wing, Toby King at right centre, and predominantly Blake Austin playing on the right-hand side. And last year, Josh Charnley scored 17 tries, Toby King 6, and Blake Austin 18.
Wow.
Yeah. This year so far, Josh Charnley has scored just 4 tries against 17 last. Now, not played quite the same number of games yet, but just 4 tries. Gelling scored 4 tries, and Austin 7. So that's 15 tries season to date amongst them. We're not getting the ball out to that right-hand side. And we're not getting it out in a threatening manner, which really, when I was putting these together yesterday afternoon, just emphasises a conversation we had earlier in the podcast that we just don't look threatening. We just don't look threatening. Bless you. We don't look threatening, particularly going down that right-hand side. And also, to add to that, Ben Murdoch-Masilla. He's injured again. I don't know what injury he's got, but he put on social media that he was very disappointed.
Lower abdominal thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
I wondered, will we miss him? And this comes on to, Rob, you saying earlier, what perhaps we actually need is a running second row who's going to make line breaks and play big minutes. Ben Murdoch-Masilla in 2018 played 22 games out of a possible 32, scoring 6 tries. Last year he played 24 games out of a possible 30, scoring 4 tries. This year so far, he's played 9 games out of 14, scoring 2 tries. So he's played 55 games out of 76. 76 games is a possible 6,080 minutes. Ben Murdoch-Masila only plays about 40 minutes per game, if that. So he's only playing just over 2,000 minutes out of a possible 6,000. Is he worth the money? Is he good value?
No.
He scored a great try in the Challenge Cup final.
Oh, he did.
Yes, yes, he's worth the money.
But if he's only playing basically one third of the minutes available to him.
No, he's not worth the money.
We need to replace him.
Yes, yes.
And we don't think we will miss him.
No.
There you go. This week, Ben Murdoch-Masila does not play anywhere near enough minutes.
What's going to worry me is when he turns up in the NRL and he plays every minute, every week.
Yes. Or he plays at least 60 minutes a game and scores every other match. Yeah.
Do you? How are you, Dennis? You all right up there? You had one headphone in then for a second. You look like you...
I had to shout. There was a...
Domestic.
The sneeze came from another room. It was very loud. It's probably about 82 on the decibel level. So I had to go and tidy that up and...
Okay, here we go. Now, unlike TV soaps that came and went in just one series, such as the likes of BBC's El Dorado, about a group of expats living in Spain, or Albion Market, pitched as the northern alternative to EastEnders, not all commissioned soaps turn out to be one-night stands. So it's with great pleasure, back under the sheets, following an outpouring of popular demand, yes, it's back, as we cross over to series two of, well, I'll let the fine lady introduce it.
And time now, unfortunately, for series two of Rimmer's Lot. Clearly the standard viewer here at BBC Two has reached rock bottom. Before you know it, we'll have viewers tuning in that eat at novelty-themed restaurants, or, God forbid, Northern Football Stadium canteens. My husband and I like to dine at Le Gavroche in the heart of Mayfair and share a dozen oysters. Apparently they're an aphrodisiac, although when it comes to later in the evening, I prefer to spit it out rather than swallowing it whole.
Hello, sir. Huddersfield Royal Infirmary. How may I help you?
Oh, good day, miss. I'm looking for Mr. Rimmer. He was admitted yesterday following a drive-by shooting.
Ah, yes, Mr. Rimmer. Oh, such a character. Are you his next of kin?
Nah, sweetheart, I don't have a chin. I'm just his closest buddy.
No, sir, are you... Oh, it doesn't matter. What's your full name, please?
It's Stephen Resilient Price.
Now, let me see. Yes, he's on Ward 13. Nurse, will you take him there? Dave, can you take Mr. Prickless to Ward 13?
No, that's all right, Doc. Apparently a nurse is going to show me there.
Well, I am the nurse, sir.
Gee, only the Sheilas are nurses where I'm from. Is that even legal?
This way, if you would, sir. Yes, yes, just over here. Yes, he's in the furthest bed on the right, next to the incinerator.
Stevie, over here, darling.
Oh, Ralphie, there you are, big fella. I've been worried sick. My whole coaching career's gone down a shitter since you've been gone.
Oh, yes, I'm feeling absolutely fine. Thankfully, we still had that Wigan antidote left over from the 80s-themed steroids through the decade lectures.
Well, you certainly don't look crook anymore, Rolfie.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely fine. Although I have put 6 stone of Kabula muscle on my torso. Now, just pass me that drink. Oh, my mouth feels like it's as dry as the RFL bank accounts in a post-pandemic heatwave.
Oh, looks a funny colour. Is that grape juice?
Oh, no. It's a masking agent, prune juice. apparently, my stools have resembled a prolate spheroid. Now then, Stevie, has there been any news from our friends at the police regarding arresting Robert?
Not a Buckley's chance of that happening, Rolfie. He's completely vanished, disappeared quicker than Anthony Galling defending a high kick.
Oh, well, that's not a surprise. He's the Scarlet Elstonell of Super League. You know how the saying goes. They seek him here, they seek him there. Those sponsors seek him everywhere. Is he in Aquarium Heaven or is he in the executive box? Where the hell is that damned elusive Elstonell?
Besides, there was no witnesses apart from me, Rolfie.
Yes, but they'll never believe you, Stevie. What with you being from Wallamalulululu.
What about the video footage?
Oh, apparently the video is being reviewed by that Constable Hicks. So they're not holding out much for a breakthrough video decision until about the new year.
Oh, 2021?
2030. Now, Stevie, I think it's important my fans don't think I'm out for the count. So we need to arrange for me to drive through the streets of Batley waving to all my supporters.
Oh, you're a bloody dead set trooper, Rolfie. This is going to be a bloody masterstroke.
Now listen, the keys for the open-top second-hand Popemobile we bought from Eddie Waring before he left It's a Knockout are in my bedside drawer. Quick, hide them in your pocket. The doctor's coming.
Oh, goodness gracious me, there you are, Mr. Rimmer. You're a lucky man. The hip flask saved your life. Took a full brunt of the bullet. Not all good news, though, I'm afraid. Your urine sample came back, and as you can see from the results, you're showing that you have an enlarged dorsal spleen.
Oh, that's no way to talk about, Stevie.
Oh, dearie, dearie me, which means you need to take some rest. No strenuous exercise, no raucous activity, no drinking, no parties, and having wild nights in the town, Mr. Rimmer. No stimulation whatsoever.
Oh, dear, that sounds like we may have to shut the museum.
Don't worry, Rolfie, I'll got you back. I'll take over the helm until you're back on your feet.
Oh, I don't know, Stevie. I don't want to put you under any additional pressure. You do struggle under changing conditions and rotating staff and your grasp of the English language. Do you think you could cope?
Oh, no worries. I thought I'd done very well last week, Rolfie. I came and I done in a great job, didn't I?
Dinner time.
Oh, here you go, Rolfie. You just look that hungry for grub, you take on the wasabi salad with lentil poos from the Halliwell Jones Canteen Restaurant.
It's dinner time, Mr. Grimmer.
Oh, excellent. Oh, what is it today, nurse? Oh, I'm famished, I am. I'm as hungry as Professor Broomhead's stomach on a 3-minute fasting.
Oh, well, you'll love this, Mr. Grimmer. It's a new Papa John's tuna and sweet corn mono cheese and invisible tomato pizza. With a side of arrogant fries, and it's one of Mr. Elstone's favourites.
Oh, chuckle sacks.
Welcoming to the podcast to review Rimmer's Lot Series 2, our very own Rotten Tomato blogger, Sam Sankey.
First of all, I'd like to know where this deluge of requests for to bring it.
How dare you!
Goodness me, you want to see the amount of mail that is in my tackle bags that it's also asking for Grimmer's Lot? Bloody hell.
Really? Is it like when people say, Twitter, there was a storm on Twitter when actually just four people had posted. Is that? Is
yes.
That
but let's stop deflecting and let's have a summary.
Get on with this grip, Sankey. Come on.
I was interested in the stereotypical accent that was going on there. I'm just wondering where was the doctor from? That was my main thought of today's episode.
Where was the doctor from, Rob?
I think he started off in India, but I'm pretty sure towards the end he was from South Africa.
Oh, I thought it was Welsh.
Oh, there you go. Is that all you've got for us?
That's all I've got for you.
Jesus Christ. Wait till we've got a BAFTA. I bet you'll be all over it then.
Oh, you can just see him, can't you? And the winner is... What would Brian Bevan say? You can see him making his way to the stage, lecturing over Claudia Winkleman as he makes his way up. Oh, sorry, Claudia. Oh, dear.
She came out this week and said that she makes sure satisfies her husband every 48 hours just to make sure she keeps him. So, you know.
Oh, I should have put that very in my well little bit, shouldn't I?
Make a note of that. All Warrington players to have a wank with Claudia Winkleman.
Winkleman. Every-
And time now for the Twitter vote. Is that it? Is that all I have to say? That one line? I have to say more in lockdown letters. This is so insulting.
Well, obviously, we don't know the results of the election yet, but what we do know is that about 4 in 10 of us probably didn't even bother to vote. Pollsters have a name for people like this. They call them morons.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why did Paxman get the big line? This is utter horseshit.
Yes, there's the Twitter vote. This week it was vote on your preferred 2021 Warrington coach. We had four options: Steve Price, Ian Watson, Lee Braze, or John Clark. We couldn't think of a fourth one. Dennis at one point said put Andy Burnham down, which probably would have been a better one, but we didn't. Steve Price won 58%. Ian Watson came in on 32%. Lee Braze on 7%, and John Clark on the 3%. There's a crack beginning to appear. It's very hard in a Twitter vote like this because you can't, you know, come with a caveat and say, well, let's wait till the end of the season. But that's, I think, really where we are with Price, aren't we? I mean,
it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we've just done this in time, really, you know, I think, is to get everybody's, you know, feel of where we are. And we talked about Ian Watson, you know, extensively in the last couple of weeks, and we're going to be playing Salford again in a couple of weeks' time. You know, he's managed to get those players playing together as a unit and doing very well. And we've got all our wonderful players and we're not playing particularly well. I'll go back to the coaching on that. I wonder then, you know, in a 3 or 4 weeks' time, if we did the same poll, maybe with Andy Burnham in there, he'd probably get a few more than John, unfortunately, but whether that will change.
Now, last week, Dennis's section was a segue to segues with his idea of speeding up Super League referees by letting them take to the field on the two-wheeled self-balancing transporters, which I guess leads to the question, is Dennis's mental health evenly balanced? It's time to find out, as it's over to...
Tacklebags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Well, of course. Waking up a bit now, very mentally aware. Now we're hitting the best bit of the show, which has had a lot of responses. So, we looked at the technological applications employed for the referees, bringing the cardiovascular limitations into the spotlight, along with their limited ability to make on-field decisions and improving the communication. So, Tacklebags team came up with a design for refereeing the utility system called the Referee Integrated Motorized Media Segway, a system that has the referees ride on a Segway, which contains all the necessary equipment to officiate the game. The Segway can travel up to speeds of 18 miles an hour with a screen linked to the TV cameras so the referee can instantly review any decision and eliminate the video ref, saving the RFL money. Fitted with a horn, it can be used for timekeeping, 6-again notifications, loudspeakers, and stop referees shouting on the field. Further enhancement, the external display would show the tackle count, penalty decisions, and so on and so forth. In addition, Papa John's could sponsor the insulated onboard pizza box that could be used for delivering pizzas at the end of the game. So lots of fans love this one. One of our biggest responses, with my tackle bags being fully laden. This is 87% said yes for this one.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was a good one. Rushing plu bags. I don't know what that is. That's a great idea. I'm not sure that the smell of the onboard pizza is a good idea for Ben Thaler. He might become a little distracted.
Oh, poor Ben. I'll have to clean it up. Someone did write in and say that you'd need a bigger track wheel for Ben Thaler. Otherwise, he gets stuck in the mud on the segue.
Maybe just a big track.
A big track. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that'd get you going. No, 12%. This is off Red Nose. Red Rose Nose. Ridiculous concept. What happens when you take it off the pitch, off to the pitches of Castleford and Wakefield? You'd need a tractor in the wet. At least Yorkshire is full of farmers. Yeah. That's fair enough. Other 1%. He hasn't even got a name. This is anonymous. Just put Segwank. But that fits in with everything else, doesn't it? This week, I'm looking at how we can support the teams during this difficult period. To field a side when the club has been hit with a number of COVID issues or a dramatic injury crisis, obviously quite topical with what happened to Castleford this week, so that we can fulfil all the fixtures. Now, it's clear in 2021, you heard it here first, will be not much different than this year, and the teams are likely to experience one of their bubbles bursting, leading to multiple players being stood down. So here on Tackle Bags, we've come up with a new innovative solution. Could I have your attention? Our new...
I'm Super standing League... to attention after your earlier segment.
Excellent. Well, you'll like this then, won't you? Our new Super League team understudy draft system, or studs for short, would see a specialist squad of players taken from the best of the Championship sides that would be centrally funded by Super League. Here, the players would be managed and trained by the England manager.
This is brilliant.
Who, remember, is currently a minister without portfolio, but being well paid. They would be keeping fit and training during the season and would be made available to a club should they find themselves in a situation where they do not have a fit squad to field a side. The squad would consist of all the specialist positions, along with a number of players who have versatility to cover more than one position. The stud system, financed by Super League, would effectively enable another pathway for players in the lower leagues to break through. The players eligible would be under 24 years old, facilitating youth development system and strengthening the Championship sides.
Mm.
How are we feeling about that one?
Brilliant. Absolutely. I mean, look at Sam. He's transfixed.
He doesn't know what to say.
He's going to be writing to his mate Andy at the RFL now, isn't he? This is my idea.
No, I like that. I like that idea. I just don't think we'd play him. We'd get one of them on the bench and then wouldn't use him going off Friday.
That's negative, true. Sam. Very negative. I think they should probably go one step further, and they should be like paratroopers. They have to parachute into the stadium or something.
We could do that in the after season as well.
Get them to come in. Which, come to think of, what are the Gurkhas doing these days? We're not just round all the Gurkhas up and get them to play.
I don't know about that.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Time for the predictions as we look forward to playing an informed Dickie Agar's Leeds on Tuesday evening. Dennis, Sam, as we all know, Richard Agar is a keen squash player. Can you see Leeds working wire around the court before we crash straight into the tin? Or will Warrington put on a Yohanga Khan performance, leaving Leeds with nothing more than a yellow dot between their eyes? I had to lie down after I wrote that one.
Good.
You're showing your age there, aren't you?
Yeah.
I've already said that I believe I expect we'll be playing an understrength Leeds team. I feel we need to go with at least a strong 13, although I would like to see a little bit of freshening up on the bench. If Ellis Robson was worth his place on Friday, he's worth his place again.
Well, just to sit there for 18
minutes. Tuesday, but to actually play 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see whether, I mean, we've heard that really there's been a fallout with Sitter and Steve Price. Okay. I'd be interested to see whether he actually puts that to bed and whether he's on the bench to play in, to play a 20 minute as a forward. And we're going to win the game. We're going to win the game by 20 points.
Okay.
Oh, he did that with a left look, shoulder shrug.
He did, didn't he?
Look at that. Sure. He did. Yeah, okay. He doesn't believe it. Not keen.
Well, let's have a look at the stats on this. If Wire win, we jump to 66.66%. If Leeds drop to 61.53%. But if Wire lose, we drop to 60% and Leeds increase their percentage to 69.23%. Wire's swingometer is worth 6.66% and Leeds' swingometer is worth a value of 7.7%. So now you've got all that information loaded into your brain there, Dennis. Who are you going for?
Well, you know, I'm going to go for Warrington because I think, you know, that there is that expectation that Leeds are going to field a half side or if a side at all. But I would like to pick up on the point that Steve Price mentioned about he's going to look at the team in terms of bringing some of those fringe players into the squad. Does that mean, as we've already alluded to, that that means they're just going to sit on the bench and watch it? Or are they actually going to be actively involved? And who are the players that are going to, you know, step aside for the ones that are coming in? So if we were to say, let's drop two players and let's pick up two players from that fringe contingent, Rob, who would you sort of like to see and what changes would you like to see there?
Well, I'd like to see us, and I said this last week, there's no pressure at Warrington. You know, he doesn't drop the stars, but I think the two players that need to maybe just have a think about themselves are Anthony Gelling and Blake Austin. So I'd like to see Ratchford go into the halves and put Ashton back at one. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, move. I don't know what we could do. Have we got another centre? That's the only worry. I'm not sure what other centres we've got that we can bring in. And that's the trouble, isn't it? There's no pressure coming up behind the likes of Gelling to move him out of the team, but maybe we can move a Jack Hughes into the centre position, drop Gelling.
Yeah, but already you've hit on it. Suddenly, Lynham not being available and Mamo being injured, suddenly you've not got the options that perhaps you would have thought about 2 weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, you'd have said, you know what, Gelling, you have a bit of a rest. Or even go on the bench and play second row, and we'll put Mamo at centre. But you've not got that option by the looks of it, because Lynham's banned, Mamo's knee's gone by the looks of it. So if you did put Ashton at fullback, who are you going to play in the wing? Or are you going to put Roebuck on? Because he had a good game.
Thulis can play on the wing, can't he?
Yeah.
I think there's only one thing for it, lads. Depp Patton's going to have to come back. Let's play Deck in the centre. That's what I'm saying.
Let's play him at replacement hooker.
I've gone too far. Okay, that's it for the podcast. It's over and out. You know what to do, all you impotent bull bags. Tweet to @WhatBevan, email to whatbevan@gmail.com, or if you love nothing more than your cultureless cheap half-board holidays by sneaking most of the breakfast buffet into your chavvy Gucci handbags, there's always Facebook. So due to the way the fixtures fall, we'll be back here to download on Monday, the 26th of October. That's the morning of the Catalans game in a fortnight's time. So from a gentleman that one can expect has never played Fortnite, it's a computer plug-in of his BBC Micro South of the River Elite computer game, Toodaloo from Sam.
All the best.
Forget the flashy computers. It's a Salvation Army charity bin north of the river. Vic-20 Donkey Kong so long from Dennis.
For seeing you.
I'm Rob London. I'm off to dust off my old magazine collection of the world of Spectrum, where Daddy and I learnt Sinclair Basic, a dialect for 8-bit home computing.
Daddy, please let me out of the cupboard. I promise to pay attention this evening.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Okay, so who wants the order for Viagra?
The wheat is good then, engine stuck on him. But I have no fear, cause London is drowning. I live by the river. the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't want to shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice suit is coming, the sun's zooming in. Into a stop on